From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
Those people are they're crazier than I am, and I'm nuts.
There was two quarterbacks in the NFL yesterday that embarrassed themselves.
We need to win now. I mean, we need to get the 8-9 wins. It's that simple.
I mean, I feel like someone's smashing my temple on the side of the head. Get over it, man. It's over.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Holy cow, what a football weekend. I feel like we're just kicking off the week because yesterday we had a limited show leading into Monday Night Football. So lots of NFL today. We'll also hear from Randall Cunningham, at least some cuts from the UNLV great and former Vikings and Eagles quarterback. That's coming up. And we will find out if before the end of the show, if one of Adam Hill's coworkers will be fired for plagiarism.
It's time for The Three, presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
Now, I hate the overreaction Monday thing because it's lame. But you know at the beginning of the season, there is an overreaction on Monday and Tuesday, and really throughout the week into Sunday when it comes to the NFL. I will be playing against most of the overreactions because that's just what I do. And two of the biggest ones coming out of week one, well, at least one of them at the head of the list, Adam, as Adam Hill is in as the company today, Ari's here as well, are the Dolphins. And you see a lot of reaction after week one around the National Football League. Have they lost the team? We got a couple of them here. Dolphins one, Redskins the other. For what reasons? The Dolphins is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins we knew going in. And it's funny, you mentioned the, you know, the overreaction Monday, and you always see that early in the season in particular. I was actually talking to somebody this morning and saying it's amazing because every year I look and say, it's week one. It's week one. Don't overreact. And I tell everybody else, don't overreact. But then you see something, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like, it's somehow, even if you tell yourself not to, yeah, you still do it.
And here's the thing. In this town, it should be easier to not overreact. Because what you'll see is those initial lines that come out after week one, even before the two Monday games, you'll look at it and you're like, wow, that's not as bad as I thought it would be. And then, of course, the steam comes in, and that's where the overreaction is. Yeah. But you can look at how the sports books treat one loss where they don't flip. You know, Cleveland isn't getting, you know, 13 against the Jets on Monday Night Football, although they got their ass kicked. So I think a lot of people would say, oh, my God, they're terrible. Yeah. Yeah. The books should straighten that out, but it still happens.
Yeah, but in this case, I think it's things that, you know, when you mention the Dolphins and the Redskins, I don't know that it's an overreaction of the Dolphins. Now, they're not going to lose by 50 points every week, but we come into the season thinking that they're tanking, thinking that they've lost everyone, and then that happens, and you say, okay, everything that we thought might be true. The Redskins case is interesting as well in that it's a different reason, but I think a lot of people thought the Redskins were going to be just horrific. They actually played okay this week, but then the fallout after the game really leads you to believe that maybe they're not going anywhere great after this week. A lot of issues. But in the Dolphins case, we thought they were tanking. It seems that they are.
So you got players mad with the Dolphins at tanking. And then in the Redskins right. case, there was some drama between, it looks like, Adrian Peterson and Jay Gruden trying to be a little too big for his britches, and now he may have to eat his words or at least his actions because they've got an injury at running back, yeah. So they need AP.
Well, I think it was more the veterans being upset with Jay Gruden, not so much AP, but I'm sure AP was upset too. It's the kind of guys taking his or having his back, but Adrian Peterson was a healthy scratch. You know, there's 53 guys on the active roster. You can only activate 46 for each game, and Peterson was scratched, and a lot of the players spoke out. I know Morgan Moses in particular, the right tackle, called it a slap in the face to the veterans to have Adrian Peterson scratched and Darius Geis as the starter But if they weren't going to use him, you've got to scratch seven guys. You just have to. I don't think you look at it and say, well, we're going to activate him and deactivate somebody else just because he's a veteran and we like him. Like, why would you do that? Jay Gruden did the right thing. The players are angry with him, upset with him, and they're speaking out about it. And now, as you mentioned, with Darius Geis hurt, looks like Adrian Peterson will have to be the guy now. So now Jay Gruden has to go to him and say, okay, we had you as a scratch last week. This week we have to turn to you as our bell cow back, perhaps. So it leaves them in an interesting spot. But Adrian Peterson's also been around long enough to understand that's how the game works. Like, do you think when he was a young player and they were scratching veterans in his place, he was like, hey, man, you know, you're the veteran. You should be the one playing out there. Like, no. If you're not the best player, you're not going to be active. That's how the league works.
Monday Night Football last night, we had two games. And there was actually a reaction, I guess, late in game one or in the middle of the games to... Because there's been so many complaints about Monday Night Football. And it's social media. All we do is complain about everything, and nothing escapes social media because everyone's got a voice. So last year, Jason Witten just got slaughtered every game all season long. So last night, was there an issue with the graphics?
Yeah, they tried a new graphic in the first half, and it was kind of like a bright neon first, you know, the down and distance marker. So it's, you know, first and 10, second and 4, whatever the play is. There's a problem with that. I mean, I think it was supposed to be green, but it was more neon and closer to yellow. And it looked like a penalty flag graphic almost every play. And it was too much. It was too bright. But I think the difference is, in the past, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if a network were to try something like this in week one, they would hear about it the next day. And they would get, emails 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, letters they would get in the mail.
Right.
That said, hey, this is awful, and maybe by week four they could change it if there was enough letters. It's a new day. And so,
in a way, it's a great thing.
Yeah. So in the first half, they had this down and distance marker that was an awful color that looked like a penalty flag all the time. Twitter just destroyed the graphic. They hated it. They were angry. And ESPN got the message at halftime. The tweets were sent out. We hear you. We're changing it. And so for the second half of the early game, it was a new graphic. So, I mean, you know, congratulations to ESPN. You know, bravo to them for listening to people and getting a change and doing it so quickly. But it is just, it's another demonstration of how it is a whole new world now.
You were in Oakland last night. Raiders go out, and I won't say win in dominating fashion, but I never really felt like, I'd say mid-second quarter on, certainly from the third quarter on, that the Broncos were threatening. Their offense is terrible. Flacco is a freaking robot. Fangio, I don't think, is going to be a great head coach. Is that an overreaction, all of that?
Maybe.
But the Raiders go out and win. Ton of positives. Now, I'm not sitting here saying the Raiders are going to win 10 games. I just thought last night that it was an overreaction to have a team getting three on its home field against another 6 or 7 win team. And you know what was cemented? Is when I looked up at the TVs, and I saw the Monday Night Football pregame crew, their picks, Broncos, 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 yep. Broncos. I'm like, it's a 3-point spread with a home dog. No one's going to pick the Raiders here? No one?
Well, I mean, I picked the Raiders all, I picked the Raiders all training camp, picked the Raiders on Friday when I was asked about it. I thought this was the one game out of the first seven that the Raiders would win. And then as of yesterday morning, actually more Sunday, my thought was completely different, and I had switched to the Broncos only because the Raiders were dealing with all this nonsense and all the craziness. So I get where they were all coming from. I think that had a lot to do with why everybody wanted to pick the Broncos. But you watch the game, and, you know, you can start finding reasons. Like, oh, this is why I should have picked the Raiders. This is why the Raiders were in a better position than we thought. But you can do that all the time when you see things. And I'll say there was a key part of the matchup that I didn't really study until about 2 hours before the game. And I thought it really showed up last night, which is traditionally through the years. And again, these are things that sometimes you don't notice, and sometimes it takes till right before the game till you see it or anything like that, and you left it out. John Gruden owns Vic Fangio. Owns him. I believe now 5-0 and no games are even close. For whatever reason, as play callers, he just has the better of him. And that's, you know, transitive property stuff where, you know, you don't necessarily say, well, he's better because of this. It's just a matchup thing between them. And I thought it showed up last night in a lot of ways. But I will certainly say we'll get into the game more. But I did not watch that game last night and think any differently about the Raiders.
Okay.
I still think they are what they are. I thought the Broncos were atrocious.
You had them. You agreed with Adam Candy had the Raiders under, was it 5.5?
6.5.
6.5. Under 6.5. You agreed with that? You think they're going to go 6-10, 5-11?
6-10 was my prediction. And
so nothing last night changed your mind? No.
Changed my mind about the Broncos.
No. Changed your mind about the Raiders. Carr's efficiency, the excellent work of a beat-up offensive line, Jacobs the rookie running back, Waller stepping up.
No, my
nice pressure from the defensive line.
I thought there
none
was
of
a,
that changed it.
I thought there was a lot of good things, and a lot of those things that you just mentioned are the case. But my thought on the Raiders was they are going to be a much, much better team that showed a lot of different signs of, you know, positive signs throughout the year that it wasn't going to show up in the standings. That's what I thought about them coming into the year. That's still what I think about them now.
You know, it's funny, on your list of positives, Carr and Jacobs didn't get a whole lot of mention, but you made sure to mention, and this is your opinion, you made sure to mention the offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I thought last night, I thought they were the standouts. I thought watching the game, I mean, sure, Jacobs was really, really good. And I thought going into the year, a lot of people thought Jacobs would be good. I thought he'd be really good. Carr, when he has time and, you know, when he's able to get rid of the ball very quickly, which is what he wants to do, he can be very effective, and I thought he was. But the offensive line was the key to everything they did last night. And listen, they brought in Trent Brown, paid him a lot of money at right tackle. That's big. Colton Miller, huge step forward at left tackle. And last year he battled injuries all throughout the season. Thought he looked good.
Think about what a laughingstock the tackle situation was a year ago, yeah, especially against the Broncos, who were freaking so dangerous on the edge. And those guys, Chubb and Miller, combined for 0 sacks.
Did Miller play?
0 tackles for loss, 8 tackles total. Barely got in Derek Carr's face. That's an amazing job, yep, coming out of the gates in game number one. We'll address more of the Raiders' positives. They win the opening game. Both of us are still in about the same position. We think, hey, the Raiders can win. I think they can win 6-7 games, maybe challenge for 500. Probably getting a little bullish after the opening night win. I think the Broncos are terrible. I thought they were terrible last year. I was right. I don't think they're much better this year, and we saw that on the field, and I don't know that they upgraded at head coach. We'll find out, I guess, down the road. We need a little more evidence and material with Vic Fangio, but we got to address the other elephant in the room, and that was some of the postgame comments about all that's gone on the last 5 days or so, really the last month or so, but specifically the last 5 days or so with Antonio Brown gone from the Raiders.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600.
And on first down, the handoff to Josh Jacobs. Welcome to the NFL, Josh Jacobs.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studio.
Rolling on a Tuesday. Feels like a Monday, right? Raiders play last night. On the way next year, 1-0 start. Josh Jacobs, one of the stars of the game. Very good game. I wouldn't call it a great game. Very good game. 23 carries, 85 yards, couple touchdowns, had a reception for 28. That would be a massive weapon, you know, considering the style of play that matches Derek Carr the best, which is, you know, a lot of dump offs and short passes. It's not a bad thing. Last night it was completely effective. They took some deep shots with Tyrell Williams. We got a lot to get into with the Raiders. It was a good performance against a so-so team, and I will say, you know, in the face of adversity, you could expect the Raiders to be a bit distracted going into the game because all of what happened with one Antonio Brown. John Gruden, after the game, I think early in the press conference, Adam Hill is here, you guys started to ask him about Gruden, check that, about Antonio Brown. One of the initial questions was, hey, was he a distraction coming into this one?
I'm just going to tell you there really wasn't. Maybe for, you know, the media, but what happened here the last couple days may have been, you know, big news to some, but were no distractions. I think you could tell that tonight. Our team is ready to roll.
Okay, ready to roll. Then he followed that up with, because I think there was a follow-up question, he's like, all right, I'm done with it.
No, I'm never going to bring it up again. That incident, whatever you call it, had nothing to do with our team's focus or preparation. That's it. End of story. Sorry.
All right. Sorry. Apologizes. So at that point, did you have any more questions? Because that was about 2.5 minutes into the post-game press conference.
Well, last night was a very unique situation, I'll say, for media. Like, everyone sitting there, like, 2 minutes from deadline.
Right.
Like, all right, we have certain questions we have to ask and get out of here.
Were
like,
you bothered by the AD questions because it didn't make any sense?
No, because okay. I think it has to be asked, and right. I'm fine with it. But like I said, I mean, there's a lot of people. Some people aren't on deadline. Some people are. I get it. But it was a weird press conference from that regard that a lot of people were just panicking. They weren't really paying attention. They weren't really trying to follow up. They were just like, give me what I need. I gotta get out. I gotta go. Yeah, because I mean, if you it's like 10:30 right then.
Yeah.
Everybody's deadline is like 11 for the most part. So yeah, it was panic, but it was different. I will say, listening back now and having time to digest it and think about it and knowing some other things now, those answers infuriate me.
Why?
Absolutely infuriate me.
Oh, more of the, hey, I don't care about this. It's not
He's
important.
Just
it's,
lying.
It's the media creating
right.
this.
He's just lying. Because here's the thing. And you have to do coach speak. I understand. You're trying to downplay it, whatever. You could be honest and say, yeah, it was a huge distraction. We overcame it. That's right. what he's saying. It wasn't a thing. You guys made it a thing. It wasn't a thing. And then you hear his locker room speech, which I just listened to on the way over here, by the way. And he goes in there. He's like, there's a lot going on this week. You guys were all over the place. You knew what's happening. There was all these distractions, and you fought through it. Say that to us. What are you doing?
Where was the locker room speech?
In the locker room.
I mean, where was it?
I just saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
The Raiders.
Where was it released? Did the Raiders put it out?
I saw the Raiders put it on Twitter. And I was like, why are you admonishing us and scolding us? And listen, I know, like, you as listeners, you don't care about how it works for you. That's fine. Whatever. But you're sitting there on stage saying, we made up this story.
Right.
It was never a distraction. And then you're telling your team, hey, I know you were distracted. They have all this going on. Great job by getting through it. It's two different messages. And by the way, I talked to like four players last night in the locker room about it. All of them were like, it was crazy around here.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how we got through it, but we did, and we're proud of it. Like, every player is acknowledging it. Why can't he?
Are you sure?
Well, as much as people talk about it, I mean, my God. I mean, I feel like someone's smashing my temple on the side of the head. Get over it, man. It's over. You know, we were good this preseason without him. You know, we're going to be fine without him. And we wish him the best. But, you know, we gave it a shot, and now New England gets their turn. Good luck to them. But I just can't deal with it anymore, really. Sorry.
There you go. No, sorry.
I'm pretty sure that was me laughing, by the way.
Well, there were a bunch of people laughing. I was going to ask you, did you laugh?
Oh, I cracked up. When I listened
you
back.
You did it again.
Yeah, when I listened back last night on my recording when I was transcribing, I just heard myself. I couldn't even hear the next couple words because I was laughing so hard. Good luck to them. And, like, his just dry, like, you know, humor there is great. But, again, like, he's getting frustrated asking about it. The question really, it was about Antonio Brown, but it really wasn't. And he just came back to it. But he's saying, I'm getting bashed over the head with this story all the time. Yes, that means it was a distraction. That means it was happening. So you're pretending it didn't. It happened. It was a thing. It wasn't created by us.
I was listening to a little Humans and JVT over on 920 The Game. You can hear their show for free each night at 10 o'clock on VSiN. And they had Gruden as a clown of the week. They had the Raiders as clowns of the week. I guess you'd roll in Mike Mayock as clowns of the week for the way they got played by Antonio Brown. You agree?
Not really, because, I mean, in the end, they didn't lose much. And was it a distraction? Was it a lot to deal with? Did it look silly? Sure. But they never paid him a cent. They got rid of a couple draft picks, which they really should never have done. So, I mean, yeah, I think that they look silly in the whole thing. But I think there's plenty of clowns to go around. If it would have been much more costly, it would have been a much worse situation. But to me, it was something that happened, something that made them look silly for a while, and people will kind of forget about it, unless it's very possible Antonio Brown goes to New England and has 1,400 yards and wins a Super Bowl and the Raiders are awful, and then it starts to become a thing again, even though I don't think Antonio Brown would have made them any better.
Really?
As good as
he
is?
Not even worth a win.
maybe, but in the end, I still don't think the Raiders' goal is to win. But, you know, could it have been 7 wins instead of 6? Maybe. But I don't think it makes them that much better. And I certainly don't think it gets them any closer to their goal. They're trying to get younger. They're trying to build for 2 or 3 years from now. I don't know what Antonio Brown does for that. I don't know if anybody thinks Antonio Brown was going to be there in 3 years.
What do you think of this comment? I don't think that Mayock played this Antonio Brown thing correctly. If you're going to keep a totally bananas talent on your roster, you have to become their best friend and cheerleader, us against the world. Mayock let it become you against us. The Raiders couldn't win that fight.
Well, I think that was their last. I think that was their last straw, and I would agree with it that it became adversarial and that became a real issue. But for so long, everyone tried to be the biggest cheerleader, the biggest supporter, and then eventually, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, they had Gruden continue to be the biggest cheerleader and best friend, and Mayock had to try to take on that bad cop role and the disciplinarian and try to get him in line in some way. And yeah, you could say, well, that's when it really turned south and that's when it got ugly, but at some point they were going to have to do something. So I don't want to put that all on Mayock for making it adversarial either.
It's time to hit What's Trending, brought to you by Born and Raised Sports Bar and Tavern in Las Vegas and Henderson.
So UNLV football lost on Saturday against Arkansas State. It was big. Tony Sanchez said he's going to look at the quarterback position. Armani Rogers now having to hold off redshirt freshman Kenyon Oblad. If Rogers sits, remember a year ago with Armani, 5.7 yards per carry as a team, without 3.9 yards per carry. One of the bright spots for the Rebels, Charles Williams, third in the country and rushing at about 156 yards a game. Next up, the tilt at Northwestern. UNLV, now an 18.5 point dog. It's been steaming towards UNLV. Yesterday, they were 20.5. Hockey going down right now. Vegas was a 3-2 loser against Arizona on Sunday, but the Golden Knights are playing over on Fox 1340 in the final game against the Ducks in this rookie face-off tournament. Change the station right now to go listen to hockey on Fox 1340. By the way, the big club's first exhibition this Sunday at T-Mobile, 3 o'clock start. Radio pregame goes down at 2:30 on Fox Sports Las Vegas, live from Beer House in the Park.
There was two quarterbacks in the NFL yesterday, by the way, that embarrassed themselves. Not every quarterback had good games, but Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston, and they're the same guy. Talent, not denying the talent. There's things I like about both, but in college, both showed really, really regrettable judgment.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Doing some of our Sunday recap here on a Tuesday. Abbreviated show yesterday. Adam Hill was also out of town with the Raiders. More Raiders coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. That was the Herd comparing Baker Mayfield and Jameis Winston. Not the worst comparison. Do you hate it? Because you are a Jameis devotee, and I know you're not a giant fan of Mayfield.
I don't hate it. I mean, I think I see where he's going with the similarities. I think it's fair at times. I think Baker got way too much credit last year, and I think Jameis got way too much blame. And I think they're maybe going to meet in the middle at some point. And I also think Jameis Winston is going to improve significantly throughout this year with Arians. It was the first game.
Yeah,
he made a couple of really, really bad mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Some receivers had a case of dropitis too.
Yeah, and so I haven't given up on Jameis Winston this year, and I don't think people should abandon ship on Baker Mayfield, but I do think some of the warning signs I saw in the offseason kind of showed up.
Yeah. There's nothing better than listening to coaches try to act like Belichick but have none of the equity.
Yeah.
Because Kitchens did it at multiple times during the offseason. He sat there chastising the media about, talking about the drama stuff, and he's like, "You guys should be talking about the charitable efforts we had going on tonight in a preseason game." And my guy Adam Gase, he's got to cut this crap out, man. Yesterday he was being a real smartass and snarky about the kicker situation. You don't do that in New York, man. I'm just giving you advice. He's not going to hear it from some dope out in Las Vegas, but I'm a native of the area. I'm a Jets fan. I've seen this happen too many times. Don't be a D to the media, especially that group, especially when you guys are the ones who blew it with the kicker in the offseason at the beginning of the season, and it cost you a freaking game. But on the Browns. Listen to Kitchens. I mean, this is, talk about a guy who freaking has his tail between his legs after an absolute ass kicking.
We've got a locker room full of disappointment right now, which we should have. That's not the way we want to be represented. We lost our discipline, we lost our composure, but it's one game, and we're going to be tested. Adversity, you take adversity and you either run together, run toward each other, or you run away. And I think we've got a bunch of guys who are going to run toward each other, and we're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why would you run toward each other? He means running in the same direction?
Yeah, run with each other.
I think toward each other, you're just going to run into each other and fall down. I think that's what they already did.
He's not the most eloquent. He's a football coach and foremost.
Fair enough.
Ready?
Should we try running toward each other?
Yeah, I know.
See what happens?
Well, I'll get knocked out. You'll be standing. You'll be doing solo. This is the dream for Colin Cowherd. He picked Baker Mayfield as one of his punching bags, as one of his 12 talking points during the summer for the NFL season, and it was just a freaking disaster. The funny thing was, the Browns were right there. They were right there. It was 15-13, and then it just all fell apart. But, man, Hurd came out firing yesterday and had this great analogy about the loud jackass at the party.
Yesterday was exactly what Cleveland deserved. You ever gone to a party, Thanksgiving dinner, family gathering, and you have all sorts of interesting people you want to talk to and hear from, but you can't because the dumbest person at the party is also the loudest? Isn't that the way it works at the bar? The dumb guy is always the loudest guy. No success in his life, but has all the answers. That's Cleveland.
Oof. Wow. No success in life. Because he's not only talking about the Browns themselves, the players, the coaches. He's talking about the fans.
Oh, for sure, the fans.
Oh, God.
I mean, we know one that I'm pretty sure went this weekend.
He did.
To opening week.
You're talking Gooch on comp. We don't subtweet Twitter or with a spoken word.
But I think it was because it was, quote unquote, the start of something special.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been happier to be wrong. Because I was down on Cleveland in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compared to what other people were. I thought they were going to be 9-10 win team, you know, borderline playoff team, you know, maybe getting in. But I was down a little bit. I was way down in Tennessee. I thought Tennessee was going to be awful, one of the worst teams in the league. And I still don't know if they're any good, but I've never been happier to be wrong. I was so excited. Just picturing Gooch sitting there depressed and like, I made this trip for this. This is our special season.
Oh, God. I tell you what, and the TV crew, because that was one of the games I was kind of isolated on Sunday. The TV crew, the producer is like, we have to get every shot of sad Browns fan on this broadcast. It was like hundreds. I'm like, my God. And then, I mean, some of them are just, it is just the epitome of the Cleveland look. You're like, that guy's on meth. I mean, there's no doubt. And that's not even helping right now with this Browns loss.
Do yourself a favor. All you guys out there in life, less successful you are, thinner resume, don't talk as much. Later in life, pad the resume, success, make some lettuce, got some wins, have a trophy, have a ring. Talk all you want. Cleveland, you had no business ever one time calling yourself dangerous. You were nothing more than interesting.
All right. Now, what was the fatal flaw on Sunday with the Browns? Because it wasn't just Mayfield throwing interceptions. The problem was in front of him.
Well, the line.
The line is a mess.
Defensively, you know, they were in trouble, too.
They were bad. You know that Austin Corbett, who was the second-round pick last year out of Reno, 33rd pick in the draft, not active. They had a guy they traded for play ahead of him. I'm sorry, not traded for like in the offseason, traded for last week.
Right.
Play ahead of him.
Not good.
I also saw, because Romo was on the game, and Romo just shredded the offensive game plan. He's like, once you see that the offensive line is this decimated, you can't be throwing downfield left and right. You gotta save the kid. And that was the other thing. They're down big. Hey, Freddie, get him out of the game. What are you trying to? Oh, let's get a couple of good reps in here. Give him some confidence going into the week. No, he's going to get killed. What are you doing?
Right, but even when he had time, he wasn't good. He was inaccurate. And, you know, I think you could certainly, if you want to be a Baker Mayfield defender, you could say he was rushed, that it was in his head a little bit, that he wasn't going to have time and he was getting rid of it early. But listen, we can't overreact to anything. We know that. you need more and more information about things. But in the preseason is pretty meaningless. But if you watch him in the preseason, he looked like a guy who had a great rookie year and said, I'm a star. Just wait till next year. I'm going to go hang out all summer and then just show up on the field and be great. And you can't do that. You have to work even harder to get to that next level. And to me, I have no idea what he did in the offseason, but it feels like a guy who was absolutely content with what he did in his rookie year.
All right, time for a giveaway. That is Dio in the background. 364-1100, 364-1100. Don't just call in, because we want the first two people who can answer a question. They're going to get a pair of tickets to the Golden Nuggets 52 Fridays concert this Friday. It's Last in Line. Who's that? Well, it's the group picking up from Ronnie James Dio and Dio, because Ronnie James passed away. So these guys are playing the Golden Nugget on Friday, 8 o'clock start, 364-1100, 364-1100. So if you love Dio, you love metal, you're going to want to see these guys. I want you to answer this. Who is the singer who took over in this group, Last in Line, for Ronnie James Dio? What's his name? Who's the new lead singer? Essentially of Dio, but now Last in Line. 364-1100, 364-1100. Call in, and you get two free tickets to another one of these Golden Nugget 52 Friday show. It's every Friday, aptly named 52 Fridays. Great shows coming up, but this weekend, it's Last in Line. Your chance to get a pair of tickets, 364-1100.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Wearing these glasses today. It's overcast. I don't need them, but I've been in tears. What's going on? Antonio Brown, what's happening? What's going on with my fantasy team? I drafted Andrew Luck, and 20 minutes later, he retired. I drafted you, Antonio, because I admire your game. Enough, buddy.
It's time to Trust Us. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
It's bizarre that O.J. Simpson would have bad karma. Yeah, he's been, sadly, maybe not so sadly, we'll find out at the end of the season. We share a brain when it comes to fantasy, because I have Antonio Brown, and I had Andrew Luck, and I had the same thing happen. I drafted Andrew Luck like 2 hours before he retired, and boy, the AB thing was looking like a disaster. On Friday evening, well, really, Friday morning, right, before the apology, and it looked like he was going to come back, and then all of a sudden he's on the Patriots. So fantasy football can be totally crazy. Dustin DeHart is here. He comes in every Tuesday. We recap the week. We look ahead in the world of fantasy football. So pretty much consensus across the board that if we were looking at worst fits, that almost no one played Sammy Watkins, who went freaking crazy.
Yeah, the guy I played beat me by 80 points. he sat Sammy Watkins.
He still won.
He had Antonio Brown, sat him, and he's played Michael Gallup, which wasn't a bad play, but he sat Sammy Watkins.
And he had a good draft.
So he would beat me by 100 points if he started him. So, terrible.
Did you draft either one of you guys in any of your leagues draft Sammy Watkins?
I hate him. You know that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I hate
him. You have a history.
Out of 25 teams, you didn't have one Sammy Watkins.
And, I hate him.
And no blanking, Adam has 25 teams.
And Adam, what was your record? That's amazing.
23-2.
Do you have the same players? Like, do you have the same
four?
A lot of them.
Because, your first couple rounds, it depends on where you fall in the draft order. Right. But I think after that, you start seeing a lot of the same guys.
Up. I'm just curious, who are some of the guys that you have on all the teams? You
know what I mean? I have guys like, it's so hard to say right now, thinking through. I drafted Austin Ekeler in almost every league, which was big for me.
Yeah.
I drafted a lot of Carlos Hyde, which I'm actually very happy about now.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of guys down at the end. Robbie Anderson, as Steve knows, I was very high on. I took him in a lot of leagues. He's not there yet and starting to get a little worried.
Crowder, I liked him.
But yeah, there's a couple guys that just it seems to fall that way. I actually have Jameis Winston in a lot of different leagues too, which not very happy with right now, but I'm still very confident in.
All right, well, let's talk about pickups. So I'll read you a list of guys who might be available in leagues, 12-team leagues. If it's a 10-team league, then there's tons of players available. 15-team league, can't be 15, but whatever, 14 or 16.
Right.
A lot of these guys might be gone already, so you don't want to sound like buttholes here, but in general, these guys could be available. Malcolm Brown on the Rams, Chris Thompson and Adrian Peterson on the Skins because, as you like to call him, Darius Guise or Darius Guise. Darius Guise. Someone drafted Guise over Adam and basically didn't know who he was. So Malcolm Brown, Chris Thompson, AP, and Justin Jackson. Who would you favor the most off that list? Brown's intriguing.
I would say Malcolm Brown for sure.
But it shouldn't be the case. How can this happen?
No desire to have Adrian Peterson on my teams right now. I mean, I still have Guice in the league. I'm going to keep him.
Well, I put a claim in leagues that I have Guice in on Adrian Peterson. So we'll find out how that works.
But there's no clear cut. Like last year, Connor was the guy everybody had to get. You know what I mean? Then this
after week one.
Yeah, okay. Right. I don't think there's that guy right now. So like I'm looking at guys like. Even like Alexander Mattison, you know what I mean? Like the clear cut handcuff. So, like Todd Gurley with Malcolm Brown and Dalvin Cook, who, durability is not thy name. Those guys go down. Those dudes step in. They'd be the number one pick right off the bat. And I think they'd be clear cut 10, 15, 20, top running backs in the league pretty quickly, right?
I'm on Raheem Mostert in a lot of leagues. That's the guy That's the guy I claimed in a lot of leagues today.
Dustin's like, I got
Coleman when I was thinking about picking him up. You don't think Breida's going to take it all?
No, I think he is, but I think they like to share anyway. Yeah. And, I love Tevin Coleman coming into the year, but who knows what's going on with him. And
I know.
I feel like he's a guy that they really went to. They leaned on him in the second half, and I feel like he's going to get a lot of looks.
We're talking fantasy football. It's our Trust Us Tuesday with Dustin DeHart from Nova Home Loans. Is the fact that Eckler went off, is that good for Melvin Gordon owners?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Shouldn't it light a fire under Melgo's rear end to come back?
No, it should light a fire under them to trade him.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I have Eckler and Gordon in so many leagues. I'm looking at two starting running backs at some point. I'm thrilled.
Like, do you think the Chargers have any desire to sign him right
Zero.
Away now? Right?
Zero.
I mean, even at a discount at this point, right?
So it's either going to spur him to say, I better get in there, or, I mean, it seems like he's pretty set on coming in week, six or seven, whatever. He's going to come in now. If I'm the Chargers, I'm like, we don't need it. Mm-hmm. We've got – not only do we have Eckler, we've got Jackson there. We trust both of them.
Yep.
There's no need to do anything with Gordon. Just trade him.
Yeah.
I'll give you some wide receivers who could be pickups. John Ross, Tyrell Williams, DJ Chark, Philip Dorsett from that list. I've got more, but from that list. Yeah.
Well, Tyrell.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't see him on any waiver wires. Pretty much everybody drafted him. Yeah. John Ross, AJ Green's coming back.
He's coming back, but Ross should be immensely popular as a pickup. I mean, the guy's a former top 15 pick.
Yeah.
Just been beat up.
He's not, are you going to trust that he's going to be out there?
Well, I would take a flyer on him. If my last receiver stinks, then I'm going to take a guy as a former first round pick who hasn't played.
I would say. Mine would be Chark on this list.
Really?
And the reason is it seemed like that's the guy Minshew liked. And, you're going to have Minshew for the foreseeable future in Jacksonville.
Right.
And if that's who he trusts, if that's the guy he's going to go to, because, quarterbacks do have tendencies, and that's another thing you have to pay attention to. Different quarterbacks trust different guys. They have a relationship with different guys.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to have a real trust factor with DJ Chark.
Okay, I'll give you more candidates like that. Danny Amendola is with the Lions. I mean, technically he's listed as a three, but he had a great first game. Chris Conley's a guy, in talking to our Kansas City friends, they say all the time that this guy has the physical talent, believe it or not, of like Julio Jones. He just doesn't have the drive. But Amendola, Conley, Randall Cobb has popped up in Dallas. And then Willie Snead, technically, I guess you could say, is the one, although Hollywood Brown went crazy. So what do you think? Amendola, Conley, Cobb, Snead.
Well, I picked up Marquise Brown today, so I'm hoping Willie Snead's not going to be any good. I would say Amendola on that list. I'm curious to see what Adam says.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not excited about any of them, to be honest with you. I would say of the list, Amendola flashed this week, and I think he's a guy that's been around. He's trustworthy. You can go with him, but if you're going to take a flyer,
Chris Conley,
Conley's the guy. I mean, if this is the list you're looking at, and like these are the four guys on your waiver wire, you're like, I need one of them. Conley's the guy just because his upside, I think, is the greatest. But I don't know that I'd be excited about any of them.
Tight end pickups, potentially. Vernon Davis. Adam told us about Darren Waller. So if you didn't go to your draft with the Raiders tight end, I mean, he is a security blanket. And he's more than that. We're going to get into Waller a little more later on. Vernon Davis, Darren Waller, Jason Witten.
Jason Witten can't move. So don't
get too excited that he caught a touchdown.
I know that they gave him a touchdown. He can't move. If you go back and watch He's just lumbering around the field. I don't know how they got him open for that touchdown, except that the Giants' defense is horrific in every way. So whoever, if you're looking for one week guys at some point during the season, get guys that are playing the Giants, because you're going to go nuts. In fact, they single-handedly might have got Dak Prescott millions and millions of dollars. So good for them. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust anything about Jason Witten's for, you know, his touchdown just because he can't move. Darren Waller is the guy. If you didn't draft him in your league and you needed a tight end and somehow he's available, go get him. He is the primary target for Derek Carr. He just is. And I try to tell people that. If you didn't listen, sorry, but go get him now if you possibly can.
And Gruden says his offense is run through tight ends at point, you know, so.
I'll give you a couple sleepers. Tell me if you like either one of these guys a tight end. You know, if you have a league where, you know, you need two tight ends, it's not easy to find two who are productive. I'm going to throw out Cameron Brate, because I don't think O.J. Howard can catch the ball still.
and
Brate, I'll tell you, Brate had a touchdown on Sunday. Unbelievable catch. It got called back.
Jameis loves him.
Got called back because of a penalty, and he seems to like him. And, you know, the Jets eventually are going to get back Herndon. He's suspended right now. But Ryan Griffin did get some targets. I'm talking, like, deep leagues. Maybe you've already got a tight end who's messed up if you want some sleepers. All right, quarterback, QB2, and maybe even a roll the dice on QB3. Now, in my case, there's a lot of people out there. Maybe my league's unique that I'm in that you couldn't do pickups before the first game. But I don't have a QB2 because Andrew Luck was my second quarterback. How about this list? Case Keenum, Mariota, Jimmy G, Andy Dalton. Again, you need a backup. You got to pick one of them.
Dustin, you and I
would go Jimmy G, since I'm a Niners fan. So
what do you think? Mariota had a good game.
Yeah,
I don't.
It was one game.
And you don't. I kind of look at the Keenum's sort of a guy who's he'll roll well for four or five games. The Skins are going to be behind. Well, they were ahead. But
yeah, but he's not going to have the job for very long.
You don't think?
No. As soon as they're, you know, if they're 0-4, he's on the bench. So I don't know that I would get him. Right. I don't know he'd be a guy I'd want. Long term, I think there is upside with Garoppolo. I don't think he's ever earned the money that he got. I'm still very skeptical of him, but yeah, I think you know, there's going to be enough opportunities in that offense throwing the ball. I mean, Kittle is just going to put up massive numbers.
My God, Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, and old Eli. Any of those guys? Should we roll the dice on Minshew? I think the Chiefs' defense still is pretty weak, but, I mean, the guy came out, was on fire early. Completion-wise, he had a nice game.
Well, they weren't scouted for him either, so we'll see how that changes. I would say I was very high on Sam Darnold. I still am very high on Sam Darnold.
He didn't look good.
I would say I didn't see the Pro Football Focus numbers yet, but I would say based on watching a lot of film from this weekend, he had to be the worst quarterback of the weekend.
He was pretty bad.
Brissett didn't look horrible.
I thought Brissett looked good.
I love Brissett.
I would take him out of that bunch.
And
sure.
You know, we didn't talk about Brissett from a fantasy perspective, but we talked about Brissett from a real life perspective, being very, very high on him.
A lot better than he did.
Yeah, we were very high on him going into the season, so I don't think you saw anything that changed your mind about that.
All right.
I don't know enough about Minshew to even ever.
It's early. I mean, the guy was a sixth round pick.
Quarterback in college too.
Right.
He can throw it.
He can throw it.
I think he's a career backup quarterback. But you know, if you're completely desperate for a quarterback, all right, Dustin. So tell us what's cooking this week with Nova Home Loans.
Yeah. Well, look, we talked last couple weeks about the mortgage tune-ups. Been getting a ton of calls on them and saving people a lot of money. Now, if you don't own a home, we can't do a mortgage tune-up for you, but we can do a purchase for you, and right now the median sales price in Las Vegas is at $305,000, went up $1,000. That's it. We're actually only up 3% year over year, which is the lowest since about 2011. And people are getting all freaked out about that, and I'm here to tell you don't be, because look, we're heading into a normal market again. I thought 6% is where we're hitting. I don't think we're going to hit that. Probably going to cap around 4 or 5%. Phoenix is now taking us over as the number one city in appreciation in the country. But if you're a buyer out there, look, rates are low. The median sales price is hanging steady. It's not creeping up anytime soon. So it's a good, you know, and sellers are reasonable now. They're not way overpricing their houses. They're actually giving closing costs to people. So it's a really good time to buy a house. And if you're a first-time home buyer, we have a ton of programs for you. So I'd love to help you out.
577-2600, 702-577-2600. That's Dustin DeHart from Nova Home Loans. You fired up for this week? You confident?
I am confident in fantasy? I
got
to do better. Yeah, this is the worst week I've had in quite a few years.
Actually, so. I got mocked on pretty heavily at my draft and my first week without a kicker.
Did you win?
Oh, yeah.
The one I'm in?
Yeah.
Why didn't you have a kicker? Because he went down and you couldn't pick up?
Well, Adam, tell him what I did. Remember Giorgio Tavecchio?
Yeah, he drafted him, and he had just been, basically, they decided to go without him on Twitter five minutes before Steve picked.
Waivers before.
Nope. No, here's the thing. I had three draft picks left.
They should make a rule if that happens.
No, not this week. If you make a mistake, you're stuck with him. Yeah. And then here's the thing. I still had... I think I drafted like seven more players, but I was so pissed off. I'm like, screw it. I'm not going week one with a kicker. And I just assumed I was going to lose, but
that's awesome.
I got a couple of lucky breaks.
I got Lamar Miller in that league, so I had to go with him too.
And it's already it's been,
I won. I got the victory in that league too.
I saw it. Good. I saw it. Good week one. All right, Dustin, we appreciate it. So we'll see you next Tuesday, right?
All right, guys. Yep.
Trust Us is presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to learn how to purchase a home with $20,000 in down payment assistance. Dial up Dustin now, 577-2600.